We've been working on building our faith with God, and today's message is right in line with that. How much do you believe God?
100%.
How much do you believe God? Now, you might just believe God this much. Do you believe God this much? Or do you believe God this much? Or do you believe God this much? Let me ask it again, because I didn't see any answers. Do you believe God this much? Do you believe God this much? Or do you believe God this much? Or there's another option. Do you believe God totally, completely, whole in all ways? You believe everything God says.
Amen.
And I'm not saying this to embarrass anybody. If you only believe God this much, it's okay, because there was a time where I didn't believe God at all. And there was a time where I believed God only this much. And there was a time where I believed God only this much. And there was a time where I only believed God this much, until I got to the point where I could totally believe God in everything he said in all ways. And this is important because God has said certain things about who we are. He has said certain things about who you are and what you can become and what you can do in your life. But you've got to believe God totally and completely. And that happens not right away. As I said, I kind of had to develop that. And it happens with our relationship with God. We need to have that personal relationship with God. We need to be speaking to God and hearing from God, meditating on his word, and letting it get inside so we can start to develop our trust with God. You ever know, if you've met somebody new for the first time and you didn't know them, and you might have had this experience like I have, where the person begins to tell you outlandish stories. Stories that you just aren't sure if you should believe, because you don't know the person yet. And you don't know if you should trust what they're saying. And man, some of these stories are wild. And so you're thinking to yourself, can I trust them? And I just don't believe this. I just can't believe this is real. But as you get to know the person, right, as you befriend them and start to know them, now you begin to trust them. Now when they tell you a story, even if it's a wild story, because you know them, you realize, wow, I know this guy. I trust him, and what he's saying has to be real. And the more that you know them and the more you trust them and the more you love them, the more you believe what they say. And it keeps growing. So the more love there is for that person, the more you're going to believe whatever they tell you. And that's the same way it is with God. We have to develop our relationship so that our love for God continues to grow. So we can get to the point we can believe anything he says. Because if we don't know him in the beginning, we can't believe what he's saying. It's too hard. It's too crazy. Oh, what is God saying? I'm going to be blessed beyond belief. He's saying, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be incredibly loved. I'm going to have a great relationship. He's saying all this crazy stuff that I can't believe. Until we get to know him, when we start developing our relationship with him and we begin to trust him and our love for him grows, now we believe him fully and completely. And that's how we get there. So we want to continue developing our relationship with God so that our belief for him can continue to grow. We've got to believe God more than what we see. We've got to believe God more than what we feel. We've got to believe God more than what we taste. To give you an example of that, you had this experience probably when you were a kid, if you're anything like me. My mother was telling me that vegetables are good for you. Teddy, eat your vegetables. They're going to make you strong like your father. Teddy, eat those vegetables. I would try the vegetables. I really would. But my taste buds were telling me this is not good. My taste buds are telling me this stuff is poison. It's going to kill you. But my mother's telling me it's good for you and it's going to strengthen you. I had to believe my mother more than my taste buds. Because my taste buds were saying, spit this out and run for your life. Even though my mother is saying, this is going to strengthen you. And the same is true for us. We have to believe God more than what we taste. We have to believe God more than what we feel. Sometimes we are feeling not so good on a day. And God is saying, I'm going to make you healthy. You are healthy. You have been healed. And yet you wake up and you feel, I don't feel so healthy. I don't feel so strong, God. But we got to believe what he says more than what we're feeling. Our feelings can distract us or fool us. If we're used to dysfunctional and unhealthy, that's what feels familiar. That's what feels right to us because that's what we know. And sometimes God says something that just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't, you know, mesh with us. It doesn't feel comfortable with us. And so we reject it and say, well, God, that doesn't feel right for me. But if God is speaking the words of health, if God is speaking the words of prosperity, and we're used to poverty, then what he's saying may not feel right. But we got to believe him more than what we feel. If we always go by what we're feeling, and what we feel has been the result of dysfunction and unhealthiness and poverty, if we go by what we're feeling, what are we going to get? What's going to feel good to us is exactly what we know. More poverty, more unhealth, more struggle. So sometimes when God says something and it doesn't feel good, we have to know that he is speaking a whole new language. He is speaking a language for us to be renewed and transformed. And we have to believe him more than what we're feeling.
Amen.
We have to believe God more than what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. We have to believe what he has said more than what we see in our life. God is saying you're blessed. Let's take a look at some of the things that God is saying so we really know. I don't want you to just assume what he's saying. Let's look at a few things. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, he talks about the blessing that you will have. And here he says, God will set you high above all nations of the earth. This is in Deuteronomy 28, and this is in verse 1. And I'm just going to go through a few of these verses in Deuteronomy 28. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. God is saying you're going to be blessed wherever you are. You're going to be blessed. He says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Doesn't matter where you're going. You're going to be blessed. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise, who rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. God is saying it doesn't matter what comes against you. And he says enemies, it doesn't matter whether it's speed bumps or walls or hindrances or sickness. It doesn't matter what it is. When it comes against you one way, it's going to be defeated. It's going to flee before you seven different ways. This is what God is saying for you. He is saying, there's nothing that can stand against you. There is no hindrance that can stop you. There's no obstacle that can stop you. But we got to believe God more. Believe what God is saying here more than what you see. Let's continue on. There's other things he said. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in your bank account, in the land of which the Lord has given you. Swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. Oh, can you imagine how much his money is in the treasures of heaven? He's going to open that to you. And give you the rain of your land in its season, meaning blessing in your life. And to bless all the works of your hand, meaning everything that you decide to do, God is going to bless that. This is what God is saying for you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You're going to be a lender and not a borrower. A lender needs to have more than they need. So just imagine how much you need to have to be a lender and not a borrower. That's what you're supposed to be. That's what God has said about you. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. The head, he's saying, you're going to be the boss. You're going to be the leader, not a follower. You're going to be a leader. That means you're going to be the leader of companies. You're going to be the leader of communities. You're going to be the leader of countries. You're not just a follower. You're a leader. You're the head and not the tail.
Amen.
And you shall be above only and not beneath. So these are some of the things that God is saying. He is saying he has blessed your life. But you got to believe him more than what you're seeing. Because you might be looking and seeing your bank statement saying, I don't have very much money in the bank. And you can believe what you're seeing, or you can believe what God is saying. We got to believe God more than what we're seeing. Because if we only believe what we see, if we believe the bad health report that says we're sick, if we believe the bank statement that says we don't have any money, if we believe what people are saying about us, then guess what? That's what we're going to have more of in our life. But if we believe what God is saying, I'm going to be the head and not the tail, the boss. I'm not going to be a follower, I'm going to be a leader. If God is saying that he's going to prosper me and there's good treasures open to me, that means endless abundance is poured out upon my life. If you believe that, if you believe that you are blessed and that you are the leader and that God has blessed you in amazing ways, if you believe that what he is saying, then that's what you'll get in your life.
Amen.
That's the way faith works.
Amen.
But we got to believe God more than what we are seeing in our life. If you only believe what you see, then you will not receive the blessing. Now, remember, there was this guy, one of the disciples. He might be getting a bad rap because we don't know a lot about him. His name was Thomas. Mm-hmm. Every time you think of the disciple Thomas, right, you go, oh, that guy doubting Thomas.
Right.
Right away, you go, oh, that. And we don't know much about him. It says that he talks a little bit about his family in the scripture, and then it talks about this event that took place. And after Jesus resurrected, rose from the dead, and came back, he came to visit the disciples. And on that particular day, when he came to visit the disciples, Thomas was out. I think he was getting milk or something. I don't remember. I don't know why he was out, but he wasn't there. And so the rest of the disciples saw Jesus and heard Jesus speak, and they believed now what Jesus had always been saying. But when Thomas returned, and can you imagine how miffed you would be? You just went out for just a split second, maybe just ran down to the corner store to get something, and now Jesus had come, and now you come back, and all the disciples are excited and talking about this great event that they saw Jesus, and he's raised from the dead, and you missed out. All your friends got to see it, and you're like, no, I didn't see it. And so he says, I'm not going to believe it. He says, I'm not going to believe it until I put my hands and fingers right in those nail holes. I'm not going to believe it until I see it myself. You know, and so here's what happens. So Jesus comes back and he says, go ahead and reach your finger here and look at my hand and reach your hand here and put it in my side and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Now Jesus said, here's what Jesus said to him. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed is the first thing Jesus says. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. See, we have to first believe God more, believe what God is saying more than what we're seeing. Because that's how we receive the things that God has said. That's how we receive the blessed life that God has prepared for us. We have to believe what he said. Now, if we're only believing what we're seeing, you are trapped. You are now trapped in the world that you're in. You cannot escape it. It's like you're in shackles or you're in prison. You can't get out of poverty if all you can believe is what you see. Because you see poverty, you're going to have more of that. If all you see are bills and you can't believe the things God is saying, then all you're going to have is more bills. If you can't believe the things God is saying and all you can believe is what you see, then you're going to have more sickness if that's what you're seeing. You are trapped if that's all you can believe. But if we can believe more than God, if you can believe more, if you can believe what God is saying, you are set free. You are liberated. And you are able now to transform your life. God will transform your life because you believe what he says.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying here? If we only believe what we see, we are trapped. Thomas only believed because he saw, but Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Because if you can believe without seeing, you can have the things that God said, the promises that God made. You can have that in your life. We've got to believe God more than what we're seeing. Moses did this. Moses believed God more than what he was seeing. You remember this story about Moses? He's out there in a desert now, and he's tending a flock of sheep, and the angel of the Lord comes to him in a burning bush, in the midst of a burning bush. And Moses hears this angel tell him, "You are going to be a deliverer. You're going to go down to Egypt and you're going to deliver these people out of Egypt, out of the hand of Pharaoh. You're going to set them free." This is what the angel of the Lord said. What did Moses say? Let's take a look here. This is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. "Now therefore, behold," this is what the angel of the Lord is saying to Moses. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me." This is God speaking through the angel. "And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." He is saying he's going to be a deliverer. What did Moses say? Let's see. This is, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Who am I? Why did he say that? Because what was he seeing in his life? He's a sheep herder, a shepherd. He's out in the desert, middle of nowhere. Think about out in that time, the desert, there's nothing out there. Just sand. There's not cities or a lot of people. He's got his tent and his little family, and he's a shepherd, and he's on the lam because he was a murderer in Egypt, and he fled out of Egypt. So he's, what does he see? He sees himself as a murderer. He sees himself as a shepherd. He sees himself living the quiet life, looking over his shoulder occasionally, making sure nobody's coming to get him for this crime that he has committed. This is what Moses sees. And now the angel of the Lord is saying, "You will be a deliverer. You," now remember, Pharaoh is the most powerful person on the face of the earth at that time. Egypt is the most powerful country at that time in history. There is nobody more powerful. And here this little shepherd guy is supposed to go and deliver these people. But thank God, Moses believed what God was saying more than he believed what he was seeing. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. He believed God more. What God was saying. God said, "You're going to be a deliverer." He believed that more than what he was seeing. He believed that more than the little flock that he was herding. He believed that more than the desert he was out in. He believed that more than his history of being a murderer. He believed what God was saying about him being a deliverer and being able to deliver the people of Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so he went. And of course, we know what happened. He delivered them.
Amen.
You are a deliverer of people too.
Amen.
The Lord has said you are a deliverer of people. You are filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You are filled with the Spirit of God. And where you go, you bring the light. You bring the truth. And when you speak the words of God's truth and the Spirit moves, you break shackles.
Amen.
You knock down prison walls and you set people free.
Amen.
When the light comes into their life, they can see the truth and the darkness flees.
Amen.
You are a deliverer of people.
Praise God.
Do you believe what God is saying about you today?
Yes.
Or do you believe what you see? You are a deliverer of people. That is who you are. Because you have been blessed with the Spirit of God. He has filled you with it. And instead of people being trapped in the physical world of poverty and sickness where they are, you can set them free by bringing the truth. You can set them free by bringing the Spirit of God into their life. So now they're not trapped, but they can step into what God is saying. They can begin to believe God more than what they're seeing. You are a deliverer of people. And you can set them free in all ways. These are the things that God wants us to do. These are the things that God has assigned for you. These are the things that God has said about you. Do you believe God more than what you're seeing?
Yes.
Do you believe God more than what you're feeling?
Yes.
Do you believe God more than what you're tasting?
Yes.
Do you believe God more than what you're thinking? Because quite often, God will give us stuff that it seems to conflict with what we know. Let's take a look here. This is kind of interesting in, where is it? John, I got two pages here. Oh, let's go to this one. Here it is, right here at the top. This is Hebrews, actually. Hebrews 11:1, and this speaks about faith, our believing. Now listen to this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. There's no evidence to prove what God is saying, right? There's no evidence to prove that you're blessed yet. Some of you are sitting there looking and thinking, well, Chad, I know you're saying I'm a deliverer, but I don't know about that. I know you're saying that God says I'm blessed, but I just don't see it quite yet. That's right. There's no evidence for it. But faith is that we hope and we believe and we know what God has said is true. We love God enough that we trust him. We trust the things that he says. We believe the things that he says. And as we believe what he is saying, we receive it. But we got to believe God more than what we're seeing. We got to believe God more than what we're feeling. Because our feelings, as they conflict with God, you know, it can lead us to go the opposite way as God. It can lead us to struggle against things he's trying to give us. He's trying to bless us in great ways, but we have an idea or a thought, well, I don't want to have stuff. I need to be humble. If that's what we're believing, now we're struggling against the promises of God. We're struggling against what he has said. And now there's a conflict inside of us. John, the disciple, in the book of Revelation, talks about how he saw a vision of a little book. And this little book is the Bible. And an angel gives it to him and says, eat it. And when he eats it, it tastes like honey in his mouth. But in his stomach, it's sour. Oh, doesn't digest very good. Why not? Because he's got different thoughts than what God has. And sometimes it creates a little bit of sourness until we cleanse out or we release the old thoughts, until we release the old ways and let more of that sweet goodness of God come in, the Word of God come into us. When we let that fully fill us, now we can truly start to live the life that he promised. Live the life that he created for us. And that's what's there. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Ted, I don't need God. I can do this on my own. I'm going to have a great life. I can do it on my own. I don't really want to use a crutch. I remember this one guy we were working with, and that's all he kept saying. I don't want to use a crutch. I don't need that help. I want to achieve it on my own so that when I'm done, I'll know that I've done it. You know, I've done it, and I didn't need anybody. The trouble is, we can't do it on our own. There are forces greater than us, greater than the physical, that come against us and try to hinder us and block us. Let's look at the story of Elijah. In 1 Kings, you might remember this if you've been in our Bible study, 1 Kings 19, and we're starting at verse 1. And in this particular story, Elijah, the prophet of God, receives a letter or a note from Jezebel. And Jezebel basically is saying, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah runs for his life and runs out there into the wilderness and hides in a cave. Now, the first thing, if you've been in our Bible study over the series of weeks that we've been doing this, you know, the first thing that we were thinking is, why would Elijah do this? He's already seen the power of God. Just a few weeks ago, we heard about how he defeated the 450 prophets of Baal, the false god. He defeated them because God brought fire down for Elijah, the one prophet of God, and the prophets of Baal did not. And he was able to defeat those 450. So if one man was able to stand up to these 450, why is he fleeing from this woman Jezebel the minute she says she's going to kill him? And that was confusing. But what God revealed to us in the deeper spiritual meaning of this story is this is a spiritual battle. There are unseen forces, forces of darkness, to try to stand against us, to stand against the blessings that God brings into our life. And our physical flesh or our physical body isn't strong enough to withstand this. Now let's take a look at this in the story, because this will help you to understand this. So now he runs for his life, he's out in the wilderness, and he says, It is enough now. This is Elijah. It is enough now, Lord, take my life. He says, kill me, Lord. Have you ever got to a point in your life where you feel like that? Where you feel like it's just too hard? I can't go on anymore. I just want to die. It would be easier. When you feel like that, I want you to know that you are now in the midst of a spiritual battle. There is something unseen, darkness or force that has come against you, and it puts you into a feeling that is just too hard, and you want to give up, and you think that it's better to give up than keep going on. And even the prophet Elijah was faced with this spiritual battle. We can't do it on our own, because we can't struggle with our own flesh against things that are spiritual. But look what happens with Elijah when he says this. And then he lay down and he slept under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and there was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And then he ate that and he laid back down. And again, the angel of the Lord came back to him a second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Listen to what the angel said. The journey is too great for you. He's saying the journey is too great for your physical flesh. Your body is not strong enough to withstand this battle. It's a spiritual battle. The cake and the water that's being received here, this is why he's eating it, represents God's goodness and God's truth. We're receiving the Spirit of God, the presence of God in our midst. The cake represents the goodness, and the water represents God's truth. He's receiving this. It's fueling him spiritually. It's filling him spiritually, strengthening him spiritually, so that he can go on. So he does not despair. It's the same way you guys do it in your life. See, we don't have to worry. Here Elijah's out here in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, which represents a period of temptation, a period of struggle. We don't have to struggle in that anymore. Because you remember the story of Jesus. Jesus was baptized, and when he was baptized, he came up out of the water. He also went into the wilderness. Elijah goes into the wilderness. Jesus went into the wilderness. Jesus was how long in the wilderness? 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah was out there 40 days and 40 nights. That period of temptation. But Jesus, when faced with temptation, did not bow. He did not fold. He did not feel weak, because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Remember when he was baptized, he came up and the Spirit of God came down and was with him. So when he went into the wilderness, he was strengthened by the Spirit of God. His flesh might have been weak. And he said this also. Jesus said this in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked a few of his disciples to go with him. This is right before he was crucified. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, guys, pray for me. I'm going to go over there and pray for a while. Keep here and pray. And he comes back and they're sleeping. They're all sleeping. Now notice the correlation. Elijah is sleeping. They're sleeping. The disciples were sleeping. When they were supposed to be staying awake to pray, they were sleeping. And what did Jesus say? He said, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. He's saying the physical body cannot endure this spiritual battle. Your spirit can, your spirit wants to, but the physical body is weak against it. And that's why Jesus, when he went to the cross, he defeated all darkness. Everything that tries to stand against you and hinder you has been stopped, has been blocked, has been broken. He has broken the chains and given you the Spirit of God inside of you also, so that you can be a deliverer of people. But you got to believe God more than what you're seeing. See, we can't do it alone, but you're not alone. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you so that you can break every chain, so that you can break every bond, so that you can deliver people too, so that the walls can't stand against you. You can deliver them out of it. The same way, and this strengthened Elijah when he ate that cake. Now there's a similar thing that we do today in receiving the communion. We eat the bread and we drink the wine, right? The bread represents the goodness of God, the body of God, which means his goodness. And the wine represents his truth, just like the water. Elijah's drinking, he's eating cake, he's drinking water. And we receive, Jesus had that last supper and he said, eat this bread. It represents my body, which stands for my goodness. And then we have that wine, which represents his truth, or his blood, it says. And that represents his truth. And so we receive God's goodness and God's truth. And that strengthens us spiritually. So when we meditate on his word, we are strengthened spiritually. When we eat of his flesh, meaning we become relationship with him, he pours his spirit out upon us. We're not literally eating him, but we're having that relationship, right? As we have that relationship, his spirit is pouring out upon us. His strength is pouring out upon us. So even though that our flesh is weak, he is strengthening us spiritually so that we can endure and go through it. But we got to believe God more. See, this is the bottom line here. In believing what Jesus did, who was God, came down into the flesh, in believing that, we understand that the doors are open and that all things are fulfilled and that nothing can stand against you.
Amen.
Nothing can stand against you. No sickness can stand against you.
Amen.
Poverty cannot stand against you.
Amen.
Old ideas, false beliefs cannot stand against you.
Praise God.
Feelings cannot stand against you and prevent you from stepping into the promises of God. And all you need to do is believe God more. Believe that he came down and fulfilled those promises and that he defeated all things and that he blessed you amazingly. Amen?
Amen.
Believe that more than what you see. Believe that more than what you taste. Believe that more than what you feel, and you will be walking in that blessing. And you'll be receiving those treasures out of heaven. And you will be the head and not the tail. And you will be above and not beneath. And you'll be walking in the light all the days of your life, removing and freeing everybody that you encounter. You'll be the deliverer, just like Moses delivered the people out of Egypt.
Amen.
You will deliver people out of the darkness. You will deliver people out of their false beliefs. You will deliver people out of despair where they feel like they can't go on, just like Elijah felt. You will bring the cake and the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do when you come with the Spirit of God, with the good news about what God did. You're bringing the cake and the water to strengthen them, to raise them up, so that they don't have to despair, so that they don't have to feel like I can't go on, but they'll be strengthened and know, yes, I can go on
praise
in all
Amen.
Ways.
Amen.